today to Luke chapter number 12. Luke 12. Luke chapter number 12. Feel God to have me to share this morning and what's going on. I thought maybe we'd go a different direction, but I can't get this off my mind and heart, so we'll share this. And again, God knows what he's doing. And I pray God speak to hearts. God do what needs to be done today. Luke 12, verse number 13. Will you please stand? Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room more to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, we always need to take in consideration God coming on the scene. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have today to read the Word of God. Thank you for every song's been sung. And Father, every prayer prayed, everything that you've done today, people have come to the altar and did business with you. And I thank you for that. And I pray you'd help them and encourage their hearts. And you know the individual needs. And so I pray for them best I know how. I ask you now, Lord, for everybody in the house, I do pray for Sister Easler, and I pray, God, for all the sick. Ask you to help them. Pray for Brother Tension and group that's in Sudan. Ask you to help them. And then, Lord, we pray today that the power of God would work in this place. Father, you know every person here that's unsaved. I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction, draw them by your power, make it real to them. Then, Father, for those that may be falling afar off, they need some help. I pray you to help them. And help all of us today that we'll see ourselves like you see us. And Father, that we'll think about that verse that says, but God. And Father, that we'll give thought to the fact that we'll have to meet you someday. We have to someday come in your presence. And I pray in Jesus' name that you make it real to our hearts today. Then Lord, I ask for a divine touch to preach. I realize my helplessness, my littleness, my insufficiency for the hour. But God, I recognize also your power and your presence. And God, that touch of God, I need you to anoint us afresh in you today. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I just want to try to preach a simple message on this subject. Three mistakes common to man. Three mistakes common to man. Let me say this to you. That these three mistakes common to man and deal mainly with unsaved, but sometimes we that are saved, if we're not careful, we'll make some of the same mistakes. And I pray that God would speak to our hearts and help us today to see these three mistakes and not let it happen to us. And then if you're unsaved, my heart's desire, my prayer to God is that you'll come to Jesus and be saved and born in the family of God. And as we look at the scripture and try to share with you, I think you'll get what we're saying and understand what God's saying to us out of this portion of the Word of God. As Jesus was teaching and preaching to them, And a man came to him, asked about his brother's inheritance, sharing his inheritance. He's all concerned about what's down here. And Jesus gave him this parable and taught him some things in it. And I pray God would help us pull out some things that'll help us today. Well, first of all, let's look at the verses 17 through 19. You'll find here he mistook himself for God. And he reminds me a whole lot of in Isaiah chapter 14 when Satan was saying what he did. He said, I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High God. I will sit in the sides of the north. He was saying, I will. That's the very essence of sin, is I will, not what is God's will, but I will. And what we want and what we think we can do. Let me say this to you today. James said we ought to pray according to the will of God, if it be the will of God. So you and I need to be careful what we say that we'll do, because God may allow circumstances to come and we can't do what we think we can do, and God would intervene. But look at verse 17. I want to show you this man and how these personal pronouns come into play. And if I counted right, there's 11 of them in these three verses and what this man said. Notice verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my. He said, my. Talking about himself. Verse 18. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, and he's saying over and over again, mine. And he's got it all planned out, what he's going to do. And God has blessed. He's had an abundance of crop reaped. And he's looking at that, looking at his barns are too small. And so thinking about tearing them down, building greater. And he's just concerned about himself right now and saying this. Over in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, the Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord. Let me say to you today, before it's over with, Pharaoh found out who God was. He found out he was in charge, not Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tried to go after the children of Israel. Of course, he wouldn't let them go at first. Then he tried to go after them, but he found out when they got to the Red Sea, God was able to part it for the children of Israel and then drown them, the Egyptians, in the same sea. I say hallelujah. And you today say, well, I'll do what I've got my plans made. I know what I'm going to do. No, you don't. But God may step in, and you don't have any control over your life. It's God's grace that you're here today. It's the mercies of God that brought you to the house of God. Man can't come unless God gives him health enough to come. And man can't do anything unless God gives him health enough to do. You say, I work, I make my own living, and I do this and I do that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you couldn't get out of bed. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't breathe. You wouldn't even be alive. It's the grace of God. And so here this man tried to place himself. He mistook himself for God. He just left God out of the picture totally and said, I'm going to do this. And here's what I'm going to do, and I'll have it made. And that's what he thought. And so he just went on his way. So that's how Pharaoh was. And he thought he'd just keep the children of Israel down there. But God said, let my people go. And he wouldn't do it. And finally, he did let them go. Then he decided he better go after them. And then when he did that, God let them be drowned in the Red Sea. They took Israel across in dry ground. I say to you, be careful what you think you can do, because you may not be able to do what you think you can do, but God can always do what he thinks he can do. God never fails. And God told Israel, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. And he did deliver them. And you can rest assured God will do what he said. And Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so he always does what he promises he'll do. Now, I want you to look at this second thing. He mistook his body for his soul. We really need to get this. Because a lot of people today are talking about their body when they think they're talking about their soul. Look in verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now he thought that his body was his soul. He's talking to his body. The soul doesn't eat physical food. And the soul doesn't drink physical drink. And the soul doesn't need physical rest. The soul is a spiritual thing. And he wasn't even thinking about that. All he had his mind set on was the physical. And he said that he had it made. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my knees, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought he had it all planned out. But the physical never satisfies the spiritual. These people today always looking for something to satisfy. They try to find something to satisfy. And people look for something to satisfy. But they never find it because they're looking at the physical instead of the spiritual. And you're here today and you say, well, preacher, I've got things pretty well lined up. You may have as far as physical is concerned, but it can go to pot today, amen. Before the day's over, you can lose everything. And if your hope's built on down here, you're in a mess because God can change everything he wants to change, anything he wants to change. And so today, you think about this with me, if you will, please. He mistook his body for his soul. And don't do that. Don't take your body. Physical never, never, never satisfies. Pleasure never satisfies. Young folk, pleasure never satisfies. People today have gone pleasure mad. And everything's pleasure oriented, and it's got to be fun. It's got to be some kind of entertainment. If we're looking for something like that, we spend a whole lot more time on that. And I'm talking to us that are saved. If we're not careful, we'll spend a whole lot more time on that than we do on the spiritual and trying to get the spiritual man fed and getting the spiritual man where he needs to be with the power of God on him so he can be a help to others. Amen. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in that too, as the world does, and the world's caught up in it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having some type of pleasure as long as it's right and not ungodly. I'm not saying it's wrong to have some kind of hobby or something you do physically for exercise and all that. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying if we spend more time on that and being entertained than we do on the spiritual part, we're wrong. Amen. And here he was spending on the physical and not the spiritual. And we need to take heed to that and realize that. You remember the story about Moses? I'm sure you do. You've heard it over and over. And Moses, by faith, when he's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season. The physical has pleasure for a little while, but be sure your sin will find you out. You can't get by with it. It won't last forever. And the physical pleasures will run out. You remember the prodigal son? He said to his dad, give me my inheritance. Give me what I want now. And the Bible says he went out and spent it on riotous living. That is, he went out and partied. You'd call him a party boy today, I guess. He went out and lived in the world, drank, and run with a wild crowd and did all the pleasure things he could find and wasted all of his substance and his inheritance. And then he got down there in the hog pen. And when he got down there, the Bible said he came to himself. I believe God moved on his heart. And God helped him to remember back at his father's house, they had food back there. But he didn't have anything. He'd down there about ready to eat with the pigs. And he thought about what he missed by not being in his father's house. Hey, listen today. I want you to know the physical will never satisfy. He lost it all and then had to go back to his father's house. And when he went back, he said, just make me a servant. I don't even want to be called a servant. Just make me a servant. But the dad loved him so much. Thank God he hugged him up and kissed him. And he may have stunk and he may have smelled like the hog pen. But the father was glad to see him come home. I'll tell you today, God's always glad to see people come home. He's always glad to have sinners come to Christ. He's always ready to save the unsaved. It's not his will any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm saying today, don't mistake your body for your soul and physical thing, think that'll get it. Some people think popularity will get it, you know. If I can just be popular, if I can just get recognition, if people know who I am, if I can be in who's who and all that stuff, and if I can make a name for myself, I'll be all right. Well, let me say this to you. In Luke something, and verse 32, can't remember now. I believe Luke 11 maybe. But it's talking about Lot's wife. And you remember Lot's wife, when she left Sodom, she looked back and turned a pillar of salt. Well, I want you to know today that she had some love back there, and she probably was in society. She probably knew all the ladies of any standing, and I call them ladies. I'm not sure what they were. They was in Sodom in a mess, and a worldly mess, and God didn't spare anybody but Lot and his two daughters, and his wife could have got out, but she didn't. She turned back and looked the wrong way. And so God did what he said he's going to do, going to destroy that place. But she probably was in society back there and popular back there in Sodom and didn't want to leave it. They probably said, that's Lot sitting in the gate. That means he's one of the rulers of that place. And so she was high standing. But God didn't pay attention to her high standing. Popularity won't help you one bit when it comes time to meet God. Not one bit. And you remember the story about Absalom? And he stole the hearts of the people. They'd come to King David and he'd pull them aside. He'd say, now if I was king, I'd do this and this for you. I'd really be the right one y'all to look to. Oh, Absalom, he stole the hearts of the people. And David then had to flee. As David fled, Absalom trying to take over and all that. You remember what happened to Absalom? His long hair, I just thought I'd plug that in right there. He's a man that had long hair, and it got caught in a tree limb, and he was riding on a mule. If y'all remember the mule and donkey message and horse, he was riding on the mule, and the mule stands for that stubbornness and not doing what God have you to do. And then he got shot through the heart with a dart and died. I want you to know, he might have got the popularity of the people, but God, he wasn't popular with God. And God brought judgment, and God finished it off and did what he said he'd do. Let me say another. What about Alexander the Great? He was popular. He conquered the known world of that day. And then you know how he died? He died drunk. He died drunk because he conquered everything. Could have lived in a lifestyle of luxury and had ease and all that. But he wasn't satisfied with the popularity, wasn't satisfied with the conquering. How about Hitler? And Hitler thought he'd conquer some, he'd get him some popularity. Hail Hitler, you know how that went. And everybody was in Germany, and I say everybody, not everybody, but multitudes were following him and crying Hail Hitler, and across the world he was known. But it didn't help him any. He died in shame and defeat. I want you to know that isn't the way to go, amen? That Nebuchadnezzar, you remember I read to you out of Daniel where he said, he looked over Babylon and said, look at what I've done in my hands and what I've, and God smote him, and he went out there and ate grass like an ox, and went out there in the field, he went out of his mind, they had to drive him out. Later he come to himself and God come back to him, and he got his sense back and he got some things straightened out. But Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and he thought he had it made and popular. Everybody knew him. Belshazzar, he was a king, and he thought he's popular. He invited all the lords of the day to come and the rulers of that vast kingdom to come. They're going to have a party and drink out of the vessels they took out of the temple in Jerusalem. And they were having their party. And all of a sudden, they come handwriting on the wall and said he weighed in the balance and found wanting. Had to go get, hey, by the way, Daniel wasn't at the party. They had to send to get him. And when they sent to get him, he read what they couldn't read. I'm glad, praise God, you don't have to be in the world. You can be separated from the world. And God send judgment on them. God will help you. Amen. Daniel lived through that. Daniel got out of that. But Daniel, they sent for him and he read it. And Belshazzar died that night. They thought they had a city fixed so they could not be overrun. They thought it was absolutely safe. Enemy turned the river and come through under the wall. And then they took the city. before they even knew what was going on. They was inside the city and taking over. And I say to you, popularity doesn't get it. And Belshazzar, his knees smote one against another. And he couldn't help himself. He got under conviction, seeing the handwriting on the wall. Here, but God. And here's this man that prospered, but God. And you can rest assured in your life, you don't know God, there'll be a day that but God will come into your life. And God will make himself known that he's God, and you'll be in a mess, sure as the world. We need to understand that. Let me say prosperity. And that's what this is really about. Verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in abundance of the things which he possesseth. Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me ask you today, friend, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would it prosper you if you gained the whole world, if you had all the wealth? There's been millionaires and billionaires that have absolutely been miserable in their days because they're always afraid somebody's going to get their money, afraid they're going to lose their money, or afraid somebody's going to kill them to get it, and all that stuff messed up and all that. I say to you today, prosperity does not bring satisfaction. I want you to look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse number 43. Mark 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter and halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, in the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You say, preacher, you really believe there's a burning hell? That's what Jesus said. That's what God said. There's a burning literal hell. I want to say to you today, for us that are saved, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory shall be revealed in us in that day. Romans 8:18. 3 mistakes common to man: mistook himself for God. He mistook his body for his soul, and he mistook time for eternity. He thought, I've got it made. I've got my barn full. I'm going to tear down, build greater. I've got it made. But God, he didn't think about eternity. All he was thinking about was this life. We get so wrapped up sometimes in this life, we miss thinking about eternity. But eternity is sure, and as sure as you sit where you sit, I stand where I stand, there'll be a day that you'll step from time into eternity and meet God. Let's bow our heads. Things, covetousness, prosperity. A rich young ruler was rich, but he came to Jesus and went away sad, because he loved his riches more than he loved God. We would look at him as a man in this world having it made, but God saw him as lacking. But God. And God called this man that, in that parable that said all this, he called him a fool. The fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Do you know before this day's over, your soul may be required of thee? Before the sun goes down, it may be that you'll be somewhere not living in this life, but be in eternity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Repent and believe. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and died for your sin. He was buried and rose again. He died for you, rose for you, sent it back into heaven for you. now making intercession for you. If you'll come and trust Jesus, he'll save you. If you'll come and just ask God to save you and believe it and trust him, he'll do that. But if you'll not believe God, if you'll not trust God, you'll not be saved. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You think about it. If your soul is required of you right now and you dropped over dead, where would you be? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God speak to hearts. This invitation, I pray, God, that you would move in hearts of those that are unsaved in such a way they'd understand the mistakes that this man made, and Father, not following his steps, but they'd come to Jesus Christ and trust him. Then I pray, Father, that you would help as we think about those that may be saved. And our lives may be so out of line with what you want us that you're working in our hearts. I pray we'd obey and do what you said. Now, Father, take the invitation. Use it for your glory. I pray the power of God would come. I know today the devil is fighting. I realize, Lord, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. May you work in this service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.